It's 9:30. This is the reading of the Green Valley News for Monday, January 19th. Mark DeGroft with you. Green Valley Recreation has pulled the plug on allowing Pima County to use its building as voting sites, citing security concerns. GVR spokeswoman Natalie Whitman said that the idea to stop using centers for voting sites has been on the table for at least the last 2 years. It started out as a concern because we were kind of running short on meeting room space, classroom space during the high season, she said. When they drop off the voting equipment, we have to secure the space and then we can't use it until they pick it up. Whitman said the county would drop off equipment a couple of days early and then pick it up a couple of days later, putting a kink in GVR's scheduling. And then we realized our custodians and staff still had access to those spaces, so how secure is it, she asked. We started being concerned just how the look of it. We didn't even want the appearance of our staff potentially being accused of tampering with election equipment. Whitman said staff has no reason to suspect that happened in the past. But she added that in the current political environment, it's safer to avoid any appearance of election equipment not being totally secure. GVR also had other concerns leading to its decision, including centers not being equipped for public access to non-GVR members. One of the locations was Canoa Ranch, and you have to have a GVR card to get in, she said. So the election officials were having to prop open the doors. And once you're in, you can walk right through the pools, even if you're 2.5-year-old attending with your parent. Whitman GVR decided similar security scenarios in other centers. GVR didn't have major concerns about rowdy controls and creating a ruckus during elections, but Whitman said that there had been some minor incidents in the past. We've had some folks, mostly at the East Center, she said. We had a couple of episodes where people had been upset about messaging or picketing that's gone on outside in the parking lot. Whitman said the person who was upsetting people in each case was acting within the law. Arizona state statutes prohibit electioneering within 75 feet of a polling center. Whitman didn't know of any pushback from the county on losing the use of GVR centers, and she assumed that the county would use fire stations like other communities. I don't think there are any shortages for space, she said. I just think that this has been a customary thing, and it's been just as easy to renew the plan. Pima County had 9 voting sites in the Green Valley and Suarita area in the 2024 general election, with GVR accounting for 4 of them, the East Social Center, Canoa Ranch Recreation Center, Casa Paloma 1 Recreation Center, and Desert Hill Center. Chief Deputy Recorder Marion Chuban told the Election Integrity Commission in November that the recorder's office was having challenges finding early voting locations on Tucson's east side and in general due to misinformation that was stoking public tension. She said a location in Suarita decided to discontinue participation as an early voting site due to confused voters being disruptive after the early voting hours. Whitman said GVR's decision holds no political message. I know that everything seems to be political these days. This is just purely logistical, she said. If you're a local school, charity, church, or business in need of theater-style seats, Roadhouse Cinema's got a deal for you. Scott Castle, Director of Operations for Roadhouse Cinemas, said they would like to donate the 700 seats in the former Desert Sky 6 Cinemas in Suarita to somebody who could use them. Roadhouse Cinemas purchased the theater in October and hope to have it fully renovated by the end of summer. The seats are in good condition and would fetch at least $50 apiece if we were to sell them, Castle said. It's possible, he said, he'd like to donate the seats in large numbers rather than piecemeal. Deanna Lindemann, commander of the Pima County Sheriff's Department Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, told the Green Valley Council on Wednesday they now have 105 members, up from 87 just a year ago. The members volunteered 48,495 hours in 25, she said. Had they been paid, it would have come close to $1 million. The volunteers patrolled 70,000 miles last year and collected 668 pounds of medications that would have otherwise ended up in the landfill or the water supply, Lindemann said. The Green Valley Council has begun a capital campaign to build a community resource center near its current site on La Cañada Drive. A year ago, Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher agreed to let the council put up a building on county-owned land near the Joyner Green Valley Library. In November of 2024, GVC President Debbie Kenyon announced she had asked for parcel near Desert Bell and La Cañada Drive because she believes their existing space was woefully inadequate. Renting space is too expensive and because all of the work she says the GVC does for the county. I told them I just want one little corner. You have all of this land, you're still securing land for conservation land resources, and we do all of this work for you, and I think that the Green Valley community has earned the right, and the council has earned the right, to be front and center in the community and to be part of the government complex, Kenyon said at the time. Under the terms of the agreement, the GVC, which currently has 84 HOA members, about 80% of those in Green Valley, agreed to incur all costs associated with development of the lot, and will be responsible for its landscaping, garbage collection, building maintenance, and utilities. The parcel already has water and sewage access, Kenyon said. On Wednesday, Kenyon told the GVC Executive Committee she accepted the first donation for the building, $1,000 from a private citizen. Thanks to the donation and $32,000 saved when they eliminated a budgeted full-time position, the GVC has some seed money, Kenyon said. She and Executive Director David McAllister Romo have met with Marana Modular Building Company that has determined the plot will support a 3,500-square-foot building that will cost $1.2 million to $1.3 million. David and I are at the bank next week. They'll be moved into separate savings accounts so that it doesn't appear with the actual balance sheet, so that will be a separate account, she said. And we do have the same arrangement set up with the GVC Foundation. So with $33,000, we only need 39 people to write us a check for $33,000, and then we have the building. People and organizations will be asked to write a check to the Green Valley Council Foundation with the subject line saying Building Fund, she said. Following the meeting, Kenyon said that they're waiting to sign the contract with the modular company until they have more money in the account. But with the $33,000 in the bank, she believes people and organizations will be more comfortable writing their checks. It'll take 6 months to build the building, but she can't predict how long it will take to raise the $1 million, she said. The GVC has 2.5 years left on its lease of its current space at 555 North La Cañada. Kenyon is envisioning a large meeting space with a few small offices for staff and storage. The new building would have twice the space that they have now. I've told the designer that I don't need a new office. I said my staff doesn't need new office. I said we need some functionality. I said what we need is that room where we can, on our own, go, well, I don't need to secure room any longer from GVR. Even though they are a wonderful partner, they're a membership organization that has to accommodate their membership, and we fully understand that, Kenyon said. Prior to assuming her duties in January of 2021, the GVC hosted 3 or 4 forums for members annually and training sessions for HOA boards, Kenyon said. Today, GVC has 2 legal forums a month, 8 to 10 membership workshops annually, and 12 or more forums annually. The GVC has also developed relationships with Pima County Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, the Green Valley Sorita Chamber of Commerce, and the Santa Rita Fire District that never existed before. Kenyon said that asking that those connections have prompted more initiatives. I think the reason we got the property is that we have a dynamic relationship with Pima County. Now I have unfettered access to Pima County, and that's something we never had before, but we're incorporated with Pima County, and if we're not good with them, what are we doing here? She said. Not only will the GVC have to impose upon Green Valley Recreation for meeting space anymore, but their HOA members will be able to hold their annual meetings in the new building, she said. The building won't be a Taj Mahal, it'll be a functional building, she said. The fundraising is a lot to take on, but they need this building, she said. We've been talking to the agencies, and they say, we don't give to build an office. I said, we're not building an office, we're building a resource center for the community, and there's a big difference. If they just needed an office, they'd just stay where they are, she said. But the community is changing. The needs are changing. My first obligation is to honor members as it should be, and a resource center over there would give us and our membership access to all of the county, the state information, the federal information that impacts us, and will be a resource for them to utilize. A rare copy of a comic book that introduced the world to Superman, and also was once stolen from the home of actor Nicolas Cage, sold for a record $15 million. The private deal for Action Comics No. 1 eclipsed the previous record price for a comic book that was set in November when a copy of Superman No. 1 was sold at auction for $9.12 million. The Action Comics sale was negotiated by Manhattan-based Metropolis Collectibles Comic Connect, which said the comic book's owner and the buyer wished to remain anonymous. The comic, which sold for 10 cents when it came out in 1938, was an anthology of tales of now mostly about little-known characters. But over a few panels, it told the original story of Superman's birth on a dying planet, his journey to Earth, and his decision as an adult to turn his titanic strength into channels that would benefit mankind. Its publication marked the beginning of the superhero genre. About 100 copies of Action Comics No. 1 are known to exist, according to Metropolis Collectibles Comic Connect president Vincent Zerzolo. This is among the holy grail of comic books. Without Superman and his popularity, there would be no Batman or other superhero comic book legends, Zerzolo said. Its importance in the comic book community shows with his deal it obliterates the previous record. The comic book was stolen when Cage's Los Angeles home in 2000, but was recovered in 2011 when it was found by a man who purchased the contents of an old storage locker in Southern California. It eventually was returned to Cage, who brought it in 1996 for $150,000. 6 months after it was returned to him, he sold it at auction for $2.2 million. Stephen Fisher, CEO of Metropolis Collectibles Comic Connect, said the theft eventually played a big role in boosting the comic's value. During that 11-year period that it was missing, it skyrocketed in value, Fisher said. The thief made Nicolas Cage a lot of money by stealing it. Fischler compared it to the theft of Mona Lisa, which was stolen from the Louvre, Paris, in a museum in 1911. It was kept under the thieves' bed for over 2 years, Fischler said. The recovery of the painting made by the Mona Lisa go from being just a great Da Vinci painting to a world icon, and that's what Action No. 1 is, an icon of American pop culture. It's 9:45. The GVR Pickleball Club launched a new adaptive pickleball group on Wednesday that is designed for people facing physical or cognitive challenges, including those with Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and those recovering from strokes, heart attacks, and surgeries. The group, also opened a residence from Suarita and Tubac, offers one-on-one coaching, group play, and personalized adaptions. The sessions run on Wednesdays through March 11th, from noon to 2 o'clock p.m. at the Green Valley Pickleball Center, and that's at 2612 South Camino de la Canoa. Because the Quail Creek Pickleball Club already has an established group for those with Parkinson's, organizer Carol Hammerly wanted to create a one-size-fits-all program that covered a wider range for people with limited abilities. We were saying we're really behind the eight ball here as a club, and we need to offer something in adaptive sports, she said. The idea was born out of a fundraising effort that she and others started for their friend, a Green Valley resident, Jerry Rambo, that resulted in Rambo receiving a wheelchair that allowed him to keep playing pickleball. Rambo, who's 94 years old, couldn't make it on Wednesday but lent the wheelchair to the group for the day. Hammerly, a player development coordinator with the GVR Pickleball Club, oversaw the adaptive group's launch. She was first exposed to adaptive athletics as a PE teacher at Aurora University in Illinois. The former Division I basketball coach with Green Bay and Northern Illinois holds a master's degree in physical education. She is already encouraged by the early reception, noting that one local player won't have to put down her paddle just yet. A woman who had just submitted to our secretary that she was no longer going to be a member of our club because she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and then the secretary shared with her that we're starting this group of adaptive pickleball, and she got so excited, Hammerly said. She was like, this is such a blessing. So I mean that just everybody is possibly the biggest warmest fuzzy I had. I saw more and more people around me that just loved to play the game but stopped playing, said Christine Servais. Motion is motion. We do everything we can to keep people moving. And what we say around here is once you stop, you stop. Servais said pickleball's smaller court and user-friendly equipment make it a natural fit as an adaptive sport. It would be much harder for these people to jump on a bike or even play basketball or you think all the other sports. And I know that there's remarkable play in those sports, but we're just suggesting something anybody could come and do and have fun, she said. Jose Cardenas was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2008. The disease causes physical limitations, including tremors and stiffness, so staying active is essential for managing symptoms and maintaining mobility. He says the pickleball is a good activity for him to combat symptoms. It makes me move around quickly, and I'm usually a quick person. When I get out from pickleball, I feel good because I feel relaxed and flexible compared to being at home, staying around the couch, and then I get real stiff, he said. Cardenas, a former mechanical engineer with Raytheon in Tucson, who now works as an architect, says staying mobile is a 24/7 lifestyle. At 2 in the morning, I'm always in the weightlifting room. The reason is the Parkinson's doesn't let you sleep. You've got to do something positive and don't do anything negative. And then I go and read the Bible after that, and then I go to work, he said. He plays pickleball 4 or 5 times a week, and while he enjoys the challenges of playing adaptive pickleball, he still plays at a faster pace on other courts throughout the week. It's challenging because it gets a little slower, but it also gets very intense for the reason that when you get slower, you hit the ball better and you're more accurate. And when you're in fast mode, you're hitting it so fast that you don't have control of the ball, he said. Cardenas is excited to show off his skills at a pickleball tournament at the World Parkinson Congress, which is on May 24th and 27th, through the 27th in Phoenix. That's the reason I'm here, because maybe they'll coach me for better situations, he said. Jim McPartland was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2016, the same year he and his wife Debbie moved to Green Valley. He plays pickleball 3 times a week. It makes me move, and that's it. What they say to beat Parkinson's, it's exercise, 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 he said. The 80-year-old Marine Corps veteran also takes boxing training classes at Undisputed, that is, South in Green Valley, each week to stay active. For McPartland, the Adaptive Pickleball Group is a welcome alternative to fast-paced competition at most of the other courts at the GVR Pickleball Club. It makes you do it. That's the main thing. You have the availability to go play. And if they didn't do this, then you wouldn't have that ability to play, he said. The group also claims and aims to foster social connection through post-play gatherings, and organizers will distribute exit questionnaires after each session to gather feedback. We're hoping that after we go through this, what we're going to actually get together after and talk eventually may have something to eat and drink, he said. GVR has allowed the group to open itself to attendees within a 20-mile radius of Green Valley, giving people with adaptive disabilities from Sarita to Tubac an opportunity to get on the courts. Bill Goodrich and his wife Pam helped Hamley start the group. He's been an active pickleball player since they moved to Green Valley in 2015. Despite multiple injuries over the years, including 2 ruptured Achilles tendons and 3 back surgeries, he's always returned to the sport. Jerry and I played together from wheelchairs once a week for about a year, and it's harder than you think, Goodrich said. He hopes to see the group expand as word gets out, and he's most excited about the group giving people with mobility issues a chance to play with others experiencing similar challenges. Often the competitive nature of the bustling GVR Pickleball Center can be intimidating. You get out there and you play with people that are playing hard, and you're holding them back, and everybody has expressed that, Goodrich said. It's taken me over a year to come back from my last back surgery, and you're accepted, and it's social, and it's really nice. whereas people can be pretty nasty sometimes playing and they're not having any fun. They're playing to win. This is just for fun. While surveys foresees the members' groups to group members to be in flux, acting as a temporary stop for those recovering from injuries or surgeries, and a permanent home for those with long-term cognitive and mobility issues. Because as people recover, they will go back to regular play, and as people do have new needs or ongoing needs like Parkinson's, they'll come every time they want to play. It's going to be here, and it's going to be available, she said. And if, as a pilot, they decide to continue it, then there's always going to be a place to go for people that are struggling with the game that still want to play. On Monday, the Farm Boys of Farmers Investment Company made hay with a 16-9, 18-8 sweep of triple play. FICO's Sean Kuebel led with two bombs and Ed Mendoza added one, while Benny Rosario was 3-for-3. Farmers Steve Calton, Wayne Weinrich, Greg Hartman, and Willie McGee were all imperfect in game two. Playboys Calvin Lee, Jimmy Vargo, Jeff Hansen, and Rich Nunez had multi-hit games, while Ben Chivo Bergsteiner hit his fourth homer. Meanwhile, play to win edged the struggling 3.5 Happy Barbers, 5-3 and 16-15. In the opener, Benny Hayes and Chris Stacy led the winners with three knocks each. Play to win erupted as Andy Amos and Richard Aguilera launched homers. Clipper Tom Garcia smashed a grand salami, while Kevin Odenberg, Joe Urrea, Greg Schoenberg, and Joe Horvath led the hit parade. FICO's Farmers kept their unbeaten season rolling on Wednesday with a 17-2, 9-4 sweep of the hapless Barbers. FICO's MASH squad hit six homers on the day, two each from Kuebel and Calton, and one each from Weinrich and Mendoza. Farmer Brian Driscoll was 3-for-3 in one game, and the Barbers' Vince Robinette launched his second bomb. Play to win and triple play split the afternoon games. In game one, playing to win banged 33 hits in their 19-12 win, including homers by Amos and Aguilera. Chris Stacy and Bill Civecki added four hits each, and then the Playboys rallied to a 20-14 victory. Bergsteiner hit four more taters, totaling eight. Other leading playboys were Rodney McGee, 6-for-8 and a home run, Tom McKeon, 6-for-6, Dave Fagan, 6-for-8, and Rick Hone, 5-for-7. Craig Jackson, the winning pitcher, chipped in four knocks. Play to win's Dan Coleman had three hits in the loss. Insurance Center of Green Valley swept Scott Chancellor Realty Executives 25-18 and 14-13 on Monday. Insurer Chris Nye hit 4-for-4 and turned in defensive gems at shortstop. Rich Malinowski also hit 4-for-4. YIC's Paul Hill collected four hits on game two and sped around the base path, scoring several runs as a pinch runner. Chancellor mounted a yeoman effort in game two to fall just short of earning a split. Mike Gempel was on target while pitching for the Longhorn Grill and Saloon, against Ouro Automotive in the afternoon games, with the Grillers sweeping the Mechanics 17-15 and 26-21. James Hill made countless great plays at second, and in game two he had a second solid performance, and Gempel notched his fourth complete game on the mound. Ouro's Ed Carnes hit a three-run homer in game one to keep the score close, while Dave Thompson had a solid day at the plate. Uru's defense shown in game two with Kelly Brown making a spectacular run-saving somersaulting catch in left, while pitcher Phil Sida grabbed two screaming liners for key outs. Janine Caitlin was stellar on the mound for Ouro in Wednesday's doubleheader sweep against Chancellor, 20-12 and 37-22. Chancellor's defense was big in game one's third inning, thanks to Greg Endow, Joe Noose, and Mike Sokup. The Ouro team batted in around the seventh, scored 11 runs in game two score fest. Endow vacuumed up everything that came his way at third, and Paul Harris collected several doubles in game two. Tiffany Stacy ate up a screaming liner at first base for the out. Longhorn's Rick Witt had a perfect game, a one performance with four clutch hits against triple play in a 17-12 win. Gary Pomerenke continued his nearly perfect streak, adding four hits. As for Game 2, David Lee nearly carried the horns with four hits, but the squad couldn't compete a comeback at losing 23-17, while Two Girls Pizzeria brought out the lumber and tight defense to earn the split. Chad Bonin hit a moonshot homer and collected five RBIs. Mike Holse had two doubles while the team rallied for eight runs to surge ahead. Bob Hoyler started this rally with a single, followed by Tom Liedtke's and Paul Johnson's clutch hits. So here are the Baja softball standings. Chuck Cantino-Ling, there's no wins or losses. The Longhorn Grill and Saloon, five wins, one loss. Scott Chancellor, one win, five losses. Two Girls Pizzeria, they're 2-2. Uru Automotive is 2-2. The Insurance Center of Green Valley is 2-2. And FICO is 6-0, an undefeated. Play to Win, 4-2. Triple Play, two wins, four losses. And 3.5 Barbers, they have no wins and six losses. And taking a quick look at the safety beat, a Green Valley woman called the Sheriff's Department fearful that her stepchildren were going to take her husband away, even though she has power of attorney. The deputies kept the peace. A Green Valley resident went to the sheriff's substation to complain that her marijuana-smoking neighbor's marijuana smoke is drifting into her home. Deputies told her it's a civil matter. A Suarita resident called police after finding what he thought was a female hair inside his home. It was burnt sage. Suarita police received a call about a pedestrian on I-19. He told them he had missed the bus and didn't know how to navigate town because he doesn't live here. He's given a ride to his destination in Suarita. Somebody called the police department to report people, including a man who appeared to be homeless, were trespassing near South La Posta Road and East Castillo Drive. Police determined they were not trespassing or breaking any laws. They were stargazing. A woman was taken to the hospital after she was struck by a vehicle while in walking across Quail Crossing Boulevard. A Green Valley resident called the Sheriff's Department because she believed she found her stolen motorcycle listed on Facebook. Deputies determined it was not the same vehicle. The Sheriff's Department received a call from somebody that was upset that someone else took the cushions from a love seat that they were giving away, but they left the love seat. And the Sheriff's Department received a report that somebody stole a handbag out of a shopping cart while they were shopping at West Continental Road businesses. There was $250, a cell phone, and credit cards missing that would have been in the handbag. And so is the Green Valley News for this Monday. Mark DeGroft with you. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more Sun Sounds programming. I'll be back on Wednesday. Till then, take care.